Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Ken W.H. from North Carolina.
Well, good evening. It's good to be here with you. My name is Ken W.H. I am a recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Glad to be here and have been maintaining abstinence now for 2.5 years and am very, very grateful for that. As you will come to find out shortly, that it took a long time for me to get here and to get abstinent, I'll put it that way, fully, entirely abstinent. I know this is a partial, there's a newcomer. Our newcomers here tonight, and I definitely want to speak, remember that as I go through, that that's who I'm talking to. I just make everyone or these newcomers aware that on the title page of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, the one we're using, it says how this is the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. And in the foreword to the very first edition, this is the fourth edition that we work with now. And the first edition, it says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'll read it as it is, are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. So that's where I begin. That's where I think we need to begin. And I've been asked to just talk some about how I got through the steps and how I've recovered in the process of working through these steps. And the title of your meeting, There Is a Solution, is just a fundamental principle for me. I believe that on page 25 of the Big Book, this edition, is perhaps one of the most profound transitions that takes place in the book. It's just, it just utterly floors me every time I see it. And from the doctor's opinion through Bill W.'s story and up until this page, we've just been made profoundly aware of how hopeless this disease of compulsive eating can be, and that it can feel really discouraging to read all of that that went on up to here. We do get some good stuff when Bill finally gets it, but it's just as though we're really being hit over the head, that we are defenseless, powerless, hopeless, lost. And but it gets to the top of page 25, and so many want to stop but cannot. Utter hopelessness, and then there's a solution. Ha! I love it. I love it. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. The reality is there is a solution. It isn't a totally hopeless situation for us. It doesn't have to be a hopeless situation for any of us. And we just need to follow directions. And that has been one of my hardest tasks for a lot of years. I've been around recovery programs for a long, long time. I started in 1982 in another program and have been sober in that program for over 40 years. I did mention that I've 2.5 years of abstinence with food. That leaves a whole lot of years in between. I went to my first OA meeting when I was in about 1985. And I walked in the room, there were 30 women and myself. And I didn't feel real comfortable at that time. But to be perfectly honest, I wasn't ready anyway. So I left for a while. And then I had, you know, circumstances come up and I had to get back into it. So I fussed around in OA for a lot of years, 35-ish or so years, just in and out and making progress and not making progress. And somehow thinking that what I had in the other program was enough to take care of this issue. It wasn't, and it isn't intended to be. One of the key principles of recovery for me has been the ability to identify one with another. That's what the whole Bill and Bob story is all about. Is one addicted person's talking to another addicted person, and you know you're talking the same language. It's the language of addiction. And as I've come to find out, that there are a whole lot of folk in the other program who could well be in this one, like myself, for a long, long time. So that's not where I'm going to go to deal with my food issues. I'm going to come where there are other people who nod their heads when I say certain silly things, which seem totally ridiculous and insane, and everybody's going, yeah. That's one of the gifts that comes. I call it the recovery nod or the program nod of when people are somewhat agreeing with. And however, there are other times when I've had old timers nod to me, and that was a signal to basically say, you just keep coming back and it's going to be okay, because I didn't know what I was talking about. Which I spent a lot of years doing, thinking I knew everything and was going to tell you everything you needed to know about recovery. I was pretty smart. That didn't get me very far, as the book will tell us over and over again, that my understanding isn't the issue. In fact, I lack it. I don't have enough knowledge to cure myself or anybody else. What I have lacked all along is the power to stop on my own. I just could not. I'll be honest with you, for working through the steps, what got me turned around with the food, and for years I went to OA meetings, and I did service positions, and I was there, but I was eating on the way, I just was eating still. Recently, and I would say it's been that 2.5 years ago or whenever, somewhere in that 2.5 years, I came to a place talking to my wife. We were walking along, and it just became profoundly clear that I had never been entirely abstinent in all of my recovery with food. I've always been entirely abstinent with alcohol, but I've never, up until 2.5 years ago, been entirely abstinent with food. And that's where it begins, and that takes us back to the doctor's opinion. So if I want to work the steps, I got to start there. And the reality is, and this floored me when I finally got some sense knocked into my head, I had to really fully embrace the fact that I had an allergy along with the compulsion to eat. That stuff happens in my body when I eat certain things that I have absolutely no control over once they're in there. It's just the body takes off, the body starts running my brain, and the next thing you know, I'm eating what I don't want to eat or eating more than I want to eat. I just don't have the power to stop once I have started. Just like it's set up there, so many want to stop but can't. But there is a solution. There is a solution. And what I learned from the doctor's opinion and from so many people in the recent years is this whole concept of entire abstinence, putting the food down which is the equivalent, if you will, of putting a plug in the jug for an alcoholic. You put the plug in the jug, it stays there. You don't have to take it out. You don't need it to survive. With food, okay, and I've heard it so often, we got to eat three times or four times, however many times a day. What the plug in the jug is the addictive foods, the so-called alcoholic foods, we call them. Those have to be put down. And I needed to identify fully what those foods were and put a plug in those jugs or whatever, put the other stuff in the freezer or the garbage, whatever, just get rid of it. But I had to come to terms with what those were before I could even really get started. We put alcoholics into detox centers for a few days just to get the alcohol out of their system so they can think straight. Well, it's no different for me with certain foods. I get enough of it in me. I'm not thinking very well. I'm in a blur. I call it my food fog, or some people call it a food coma or stupor or whatever you want to call it. It'll do that. So I have to get it cleared out of me a little bit. And then I can really start to maybe appreciate what other people are saying about the steps. One thing I've become profoundly aware of that just constantly blows me away when I think about it now, that it takes four chapters. I like to say five chapters, because I count the doctor's opinion as a chapter almost. In fact, in the first printing, it was chapter one. That's why all the numbers are different, the first printing of the big book. But so it takes, this is amazing. I've heard over and over again, thousands of times how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail. And then we get the list of the steps and then we're off and running. It takes five chapters, basically, to get there. That's a third of the book. I just worked it out a little while ago. It takes up until we do not get to step four. Step four, the inventory step, until 39% of the book is done. It takes over a third of the book just to get to step four. It takes about 35% to get to step three, which is in chapter five, how it works. That's when we get to step three. Up until then, it's steps one and two, which are admitting my powerlessness over food and that my life is unmanageable and that I have come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. That's as far as I get before chapter five. So how have I worked, been helped through the steps and that process in recent years? That's where the time was spent to get my feet on solid ground. If I don't have one, and the possibility that there's something out there that has the power to correct this, to heal this illness. This is an illness that can be put into remission permanently, which is a really hopeful thing. But I got to get grounded. I got to know that's where I start. Otherwise, the rest of the steps are just going to be a struggle, which they've been for me for years and years and years, up until I really got a hold of, with some help from my friends, especially a really good sponsor who took me through this. And then step three, I've come to believe, I know today that there is a power greater than myself who is able to solve my problem, as the book says. And that's all I had to do, is come to believe that a power existed that could solve my problem with food. I didn't have to formulate what that power looked like or anything else. I just had to believe somehow deep down inside that there was something out there, a power out there that could solve my problem that I couldn't do on my own. And that's all I need to get to step three, to get to that place of turning, or he in this case, just making a decision to turn my will and my life over. And I can't do that until I really get a hold of steps one and two. I don't need a power greater than myself if I have not embraced powerlessness when it comes to food. If I don't embrace powerlessness, like I can do it myself, by golly, I'll show you. And you can ask me, how did that work for me? Not very well. For years and years, I just kept going back. Very painful relapse experiences. The one thing I love about step three in the big book, Keep It Simple, so to speak, is on page 60, it goes, you know, that God could and would if he were sought. And then it says, being convinced we were at step three. And then a page and a half later, after an excursion that Bill goes on about self, everything wrong or everything, out of whack with self, he talks about self-will, self-propulsion, selfish, he talks about victim of delusion, self-centered, egocentric, concerned with ourselves, our resentments, our self-pity. It just goes on and on and on. It just blasts self-will for a page and a half or so. And then he finally says, we were now at step three on page 63. So we had arrived, but we hadn't arrived until we really took a good solid look at ourselves and the self thing. And I had to do that because everything was about me, me, myself, and I. My selfish, self-centered self just kind of ran the show. And so I needed to have that pause in there to help me reflect on where I was in this process, because if I kept that self and all of that self-centeredness active in me, then there's no room for this power greater than myself to come and live and visit and and be a part of my life. There's no room for it to come in. So I can't really even make that decision as long as I'm just all wrapped up in myself. But then it says, I can, and then it offers the simple prayer that we all know, that have been around for a while, that I offer myself to you. And that is making a decision that is a prayer of action, because that action is really this action of opening up my hand and letting go of this tight grasp I had on life, that I had to be in control and I had to take care of myself. And this action is the release part of the program, because I'm doing it. I'm asking this prayer in a passive sense. It's just, I offer myself to you. Do with me as you will, basically. You do you with me what you need to do to get me on a good path. And then and once we're there, I got over to step four, and I've done step four over the years, any number of times. I've used a number of the, how do I want to say it, the handout sheets, the some prescribed ways to go through the process with pages and pages and pages and pages and just a few more pages to get through this fourth step. And that's not what the big book does. That's not what it says here. The interesting part is that to go from step four to step 11, it only takes 15% of the book to do that. It's from page 64 to up to about page 88. 24 pages, we go through 4 through 11. That seems to suggest to me, in a book that's 164 pages long, that those 24 pages aren't meant to take forever to read. They're also not meant to take forever to do the steps in there. And that helped me a lot. When I really got a hold of true abstinence for myself, my sponsor, as much as anything, said, we're going to do these things. And okay, you're doing the first step. Call me tomorrow about it. Now you're going to do the second step. Call me tomorrow about it. We'll talk about it. And then we got to the fourth step, and he says, you got 2 days, 3 days. That's all you need to do what it says here in the big book, to just do this simple little chart that's here in the big book. Write down the resentments, the cause, what it affects. And then most importantly, on page 67, where it gets to looking inside me, what was my part of it and what impacted my response to it or reaction to whatever was going on. Participate in that whole resentment that I'm hanging on to and the other person doesn't have a clue exists. I'm the one that's losing on this resentment thing. And I've come to know for myself that I know that there's a place in the big book where it says, when I'm disturbed, it says to the in effect, when I'm aware that I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. And it puts it in that language. And that always rubbed me the wrong way, to be perfectly honest with you. If there's something wrong with me, I like to think of it more as this. Whenever I'm disturbed, there's something out of whack with me. I'm a little off the beam. I'm a little wee-wah. And that's the part that matters to me. I am a little out of whack. It doesn't make any difference what the issue is. Really, if I'm disturbed, I'm out of whack. And the goal of fourth step inventory, fifth step, and then even getting along and doing 10 step inventories on a constantly during the day is a way to say, I'm out of whack and I don't like this feeling. I want to get back in line, aligned with God and aligned with others. That's the way I like to look at it, rather than, there's something wrong with me. Like there's something really, really defective in there that is permanent. I don't like to think that way. I just like to think that, I'm out of whack. I'm not right with this, and I need to get this straightened out. And that's part of what the step four is about, step five. And then...
That's 20 minutes, Ken.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. I won't do much longer, I assure you. moving along, it's just... Six and seven are, I believe, personal steps with me and the God of my understanding. That's just us off in the corner doing the thing. The step six of we're entirely ready and then humbly asking. I mean, that's a very, very private, personal thing as far as I'm concerned. But again, these aren't things that take a long time. If I'm moving along with intention and I'm doing what it says here, and I'm and my sponsor pressed me through these things. Step four is not an autobiography. It's not a novel. It's real, but it doesn't have to be the length of War and Peace. It's really basic and simple. It's just move through it. Don't get stuck in it. That's where we're talking about all the stuff that isn't right and the resentments and the things that are causing all the angst. I don't want to stay in that. We don't need to stay in that, I don't believe. And so that's moving through that is important. And six and seven, that personal private time. And then eight and nine is to go and make the restitution and try to make some amends however we can with no expectations whatsoever. I can go and do an amends to someone I either stole money from or whatever. It doesn't matter how they respond. That's their business. I need to do what I need to do to try to make it right and they may not be ready for it to be right. And that's okay. That's as far as it needs to go. I've done what I need to do. And hopefully it will trigger something in that other person that they can get over it as well someday, if they aren't at the moment letting it go. And also find that there are many people that don't have a clue that I did anything wrong, or they don't remember because it was so long ago. That usually means I dug too deep. I just went too far. I cussed some guy out on the highway 44 years ago. I got to go make amends. I got to find this guy and go make amends. No, that's that's missing the point. If I'm doing it today, still, I'm out of whack. And I need to do something about that. And that's what Step 10 is about all day long, that kind of a thing. And that's what I try to live in. I had to sort of do one even this morning. It still comes. I'm a human being, just like the rest of us. I just will never recover from that reality of being a human being. Still flawed, but trying my best and staying in the process and aiming higher all the time and just making some progress along the way. But I stuck my nose where it didn't need to be this morning and offered my opinion where it wasn't needed, necessary, and it just, quite frankly, wasn't right. And it created a bit of tension for some moment. In fact, while I was busy sticking my nose in, I wasn't listening very well either, because when I'm tending to think of my own stuff and what I need to say and what I know is right, I don't hear very well. So I didn't listen well enough. And but I could say, I'm sorry. I can say I'm still working on that one. It took me forever to even think I was a control freak. I didn't think I was. I thought I was a real passive kind of guy. You learn as we go, and it's this living is a learning process, and it won't stop. But for newcomers, don't be overwhelmed by all of this. Just come. Just feel the love here. There's plenty of it, I know. I get it every morning. You'll find out what you need for your own recovery program. For me, it's now a part of my devotional life to go to a meeting at 7 o'clock every morning throughout the week. I'm there every day unless something really strange comes up and I can't. But then I listen to it later, which is the really good news of recorded meetings. But it's what I do for myself. It's just a part of who I am today. That meeting is just what I go to every day. It centers me. It starts my day. That doesn't mean I can't walk out the door and get a little out of whack in a minute. But at least I have tools now that can help me get back on track. And I think that's a lot of what I just wanted to share and say that it is not, it's that hopeless state of mind and body is not permanent and does not have to be permanent. And that's the really, really good news of the recovery program. And that's what I have found through the 12 steps, that working the steps and being a part of the program and reaching out, because that's where, frankly, a major part of the book is devoted. The most part of the book is devoted to working with others and beyond. That the 12th step is the major part of the book. And that's where we're headed. That's what this is all intended to lead us to. The spiritual awakening and the spiritual connection with a power greater than ourselves. That's what the book says it's going to do, and it does it. If we just follow the simple instructions and not beat up on ourselves along the way for the mistakes to make. I did that for so many years, and it took a long time to get out from under the shame of that and the unworthy feeling that I had. So I'll leave it at that. And just so glad to be here. And thanks for asking me to be a part of your meeting.
Thank you so much, Ken, for your share.